Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And we have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from California, Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, WWL digital content producer. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Kind of give us a little bit of an injury update. What happened during practice today? Who was there? And maybe who was practicing off to the side?
Injuries. Well, I'm fine.
I'm glad to hear it, Jeff.
I've been avoiding any major injuries. You stretch before you go to practice. Always. Every time. Lunges are your friend. No major injuries today. The frustrating one is Jalen Ford, who just got back.
Not again.
He missed some time with a hamstring injury.
Yes.
It sounds like he tweaked his other hamstring today, which is frustrating. He went off early, didn't return. The scare that, I think it kind of underlines, just how concerning the depth of this offensive line is. Cesar Ruiz went out, looked like he was in some decent amount of pain, got looked at by trainers. I believe it was his right leg, went out, got treated, and came back in. So that's a good sign. We'll have to watch over the next couple of days because, finishing practice isn't necessarily a sign that you won't miss time. He goes out and you're just like, man, if he's out, then that means you have four offensive line spots that have question marks.
Jeez.
And because, we're very happy about what we've seen out of Taliese Fuanga. It's still a rookie at the left tackle position, and that's a question mark whether he's looked good or not. Shane Lemieux took over for a few reps, so I think that was at least a good indicator that, hey, if they do end up having to go with a backup at right guard, it's probably going to be Shane Lemieux. But other than that, realistically decent news of Rashid Shaheed, Bub Means, both they had a regular colored jersey on today. They were in the red jersey yesterday. Rashid Shaheed was a full go. And, when he's out there, he makes a difference. This is a team that, obviously Chris Olave has speed. But beyond him, I wouldn't say that this is a particularly fast wide receiver group. And the amount of pressure that he can put on the defense at multiple levels, I think, is going to be important for this offense this year. So it was good to see him back out there healthy. You also saw him returning kicks. So, otherwise, pretty much the same. No Alvin Kamara. DeMario Davis got limited work. And he went through walkthroughs, went through individual drills. We saw Pete Werner and Paulson Adebo working off to the side. So it looks like they're getting closer to coming back. So, generally speaking, I think they're heading in the right direction from a health.
Now, explain that again about Lemieux. Where did he fill in?
He filled in at right guard.
Right guard, okay.
Yeah, because Cesar
Ruiz goes down, okay. Yeah. Now, for him, I'm scared with him, too, because he's always hurt. He's a guy with the Giants, and you could see he could play, Jeff. The bad part is he was always nicked up. I talked to one of the scouts for the Giants. They loved him. The problem was, man, they just got fed up with all the injuries that he accumulated from his rookie season.
Sounds like a poor Marcus Davenport. I mean, he could play, but I don't know.
He's not available.
So, but speaking of who's available, Jeff, I heard Jake Haener had a pretty good day today. And that ongoing competition, and everybody wants to give Spencer Rattler even Derek Carr's job before he actually does something. But Jake Haener seems like he had a pretty good day today.
Yeah, Jake, I would actually say this was not one of his better days. I thought he missed on a few targets. It's really not like it was a windy day. I think that probably played a factor into it. That's definitely something that factored into the kicking game. I really like what Jake has done. I think he had a better day yesterday than
I'm getting my days confused.
He's had a good camp. I've been impressed with him in camp. I thought he was really solid in the preseason game, even though it's got a little overlooked because everyone wanted to talk about Spencer Rattler and the first team offense not getting much done. And he just went in there and executed with the second team. And I thought he's had a really solid camp. He's dealt with the skin cancer scare. Got to talk to him in the locker room after the game. And, he's going to have a unique little scar on his right cheek, and we've have some experience with quarterbacks
with Drew Brees. Drew Brees had that burnt mark.
But I think Jake's just approach has been what's impressed me the most. Like he's calm, he's collected. He never seems to be overwhelmed out there, and that's something to be said for that. Honestly, one of the plays that I was most impressed by for Jake in that game, just on that vein, there's a screen that it objectively did not work. It was a failed screen, but you watch how this play develops, and the defensive end comes in, and Jake has no lane to deliver this ball to Cedric Wilson. He just commonly pump fakes, gets the guy in the air, sidearms the ball to Cedric Wilson, and you give the guy a chance to make a play. And it's just kind of that subtle quarterbacking play that if he had just thrown it into the dirt, no one would have questioned it. But he's managed to, he'd stayed calm, found a way. And I think that's just a good microcosm for what I like about Jake Haener is the moment never seems to be too big. He always seems to be in control. And I think that's what I want to see out of a guy that you're saying, okay, you're going to be the backup quarterback this year, particularly when you're talking about two guys, neither of whom have thrown a pass in a regular season NFL game. And so that's a tough projection to make. And so, yeah, I like what I've seen out of Jake.
Now, when I look at this, Jeff, and obviously Derek Carr, I think this was in yesterday's practice. I know anytime you're perfect, I think he went 11 for 11, and you spread the ball, the wealth around, so to speak. You spread the ball around to different targets, whether it's A.T. Perry, Chris Olave. I heard Foster Moreau was pretty outstanding. Maybe it was one of his best practices ever in a Saints uniform. But what caught my attention is that I was reading where that it also helps his team that Derek Carr getting the ball out quickly. I'm telling you, as a quarterback, I've been there. You can make the offensive line better than what it really is just by getting rid of the ball quickly. You know, you want to hit those chunk plays and those big plays, but you live to fight another day and just try and have a positive play might be you throw it away. Or are you lift to fight another day, or a simple check down, maybe you get broken tackles. But the one thing how you can help that offensive line and get that continuity is just by, as a quarterback, getting rid of the ball quickly. And I think Derek, the veteran that he is, I think he even knows that right now.
Oh, no question. And I think what you're trying to figure out in this offense is how can you throw with the right timing. You know, and I think that was one of the issues that you had in the preseason game. But I don't know if the timing's quite there yet. I think that third down throw to Olave was a good example of they just, you know, probably a tick off. You know, Olave didn't get out of his break maybe right when he would have expected. Got a little jammed up with the defensive back, and the ball is already out of Derek's hands, and it goes to a spot where he thought the receiver was going to be, and he wasn't. So I think that's one of the big things I look for in these preseason practices, these training camp practices. Okay, Kate, can you get that timing down? So you get into a game and you're not thinking, you're just throwing. And no, I agree with you 100%. When Derek was good last year, I think there were the games where he was decisive. You know, not necessarily completing every pass, but getting the ball out of his hands quickly and to the right location. With this offensive line the way it is, particularly in pass sets, you're going to have to you cannot sit back there for 4 seconds.
No, you can't make a sandwich back there.
No, yeah. You can't play a game of Jenga back there. Yeah. And then, like, oh, all right. Yeah, you got to get the ball out. And, you know, Chris Olave is going to be the primary on a lot of these pass concepts. And he's got to get open, too. That's the other factor is, you know, guys have to get off of coverage. They need to create separation. And you know, it's easy to just sit there and say, oh, the quarterback's not making plays. If he doesn't have anyone to throw to, it's a lot more difficult to be to operate quickly. And if he starts throwing interceptions because he's rushing throws, then we're not going to give the quarterback any credit. So we'll see. There's a lot of things that have to be figured out. That's why I'm so disappointed that there's no joint practice. I know you are as well.
Yes.
Because it's something that I thought the Saints were going to benefit a lot from. And, you know, they'll figure it out. We saw a much more spirited practice today. It was a little bit of a longer session in terms of the one-on-one reps. I think they're loading guys up a little bit more today and tomorrow than they might have previously. In terms of a regular practice, just because you are planning on getting that work in. I don't think it's a coincidence that guys like Rashid Shaheed, Bob Mean, suddenly they're back this week. I think the idea was, hey, we want them available for these practices, and now you're not getting those. So, you know, you gotta find a way to ramp up the intensity somehow. We had refs out there, so that adds a little bit. You know, we heard some chirping, some chippiness, the defense getting after the offense a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. But now I think Derek has looked sharp. You know, whenever you go 11 for 11, you had a pretty good day.
Exactly.
And so hopefully he can build on that. I think, you know, a lot has been made of the first two drives against the Cardinals, right? And now they didn't look great.
Right.
You know, if they go out and have one sustained drive against the 49ers and get into the end zone, then suddenly we'll be talking about, wow, the offense looks great. Like, it's, you don't have a ton of opportunities. You're not running any complex scheme. So that one drive feels magnified more so than probably makes a ton of sense. But I think it would be nice just to build some positivity around this offense if they can go out and execute, even get in the field goal range and put some points on the board. I think that'll, just build some confidence around this group.
Jeff, now, I'm always about developing players, especially young players. And last year, when they moved Alante Taylor from outside corner and they kicked him inside, he didn't look comfortable in there. But yet this year, there seems to be the buzz with Alante that he gets it and that he's playing at both outside corner and also in the slot. Your thoughts on having watched him in training camp and his development, because, you know, most likely this is going to be the last year with Marshawn Lattimore. And so you're going to have some thought process on exactly how you're going to field that cornerback position. But if Alante is comfortable in the slot, that gives the Saints a lot of options for this year. So a little bit about his growth as a player.
Well, yeah. not only with Lattimore, Mike and Jeff, are they going to pay Paulson Adebo?
That's a good question.
Oh, well, he's the next Powerball winner.
I'm
telling you.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. But no, with Alante, I think last year, you know, I think one of the frustrations was he didn't get an entire training camp to work on the slot. He was competing for the outside job, and so what you saw in the season was an outside corner who was suddenly playing inside. And a guy who's used to having the sideline be his best friend. Now you got both directions. You got so much space, and you got to be able to use your eyes and track things and not get fooled, particularly against teams like the Rams, who use a lot of eye candy, and you know the crossing routes become an issue. And I think they didn't handle crossing routes well enough, and you saw them get burned on those constantly last year. I think this year you just see a guy who's more comfortable. He's told us that he made kind of the mental decision to really commit to the slot. And it's a lot easier to, you know, I think anyone would say that, but just saying something doesn't actually make it happen. You have to actually commit to it. And it sounds like that's what he's done, just in terms of, you know, I'm a slot corner. That's what I'm going to do. And, you know, it probably costs you some money when you commit to that position. That's kind of the frustrating thing when you feel like you're an elite outside corner and suddenly you're playing in the slot and teams just don't pay top dollar for that position for whatever reason. But, you know, he's not letting that get to him. He just seems like a guy who understands what he's supposed to be doing a lot more and isn't second-guessing himself. He's getting to the ball. He's making plays. Like the crossing routes, for example. You know, you're seeing those constantly in practice in ways that you didn't really see last year with the old offense. You're going against an offense now every day in practice that is really tough on the slot corner position. And you saw that against the Rams last year. Like, that's the game he got benched because he just wasn't handling it well. He gets to go against that every day. I asked him if going against this offense is helpful, and he said, yeah, it kind of gives me flashback to the Week 17 or the Week 16 game against the Rams. And, you know, that's something that stuck with him all offseason, is improving against that scheme specifically. So I think that's been a big benefit. And, you know, when Alante's playing confidently, and we talk about confidence a lot, I think it's important at every position, but as a slot corner, I think it's very important because you're constantly being asked to defend guys who might be bigger than you. You know, you might suddenly get a rep against a fast guy, and then suddenly you have to cover a tight end, and he's going to try to bully you, and you have to hold up against it. You have to come up and make a play in run support. You know, he's not a safety. He's a corner, so he doesn't have the benefit of having that extra bulk that a lot of slot corners might have. So you kind of got to make up for that in other ways. But, you know, he's a very exciting player to watch. He's an energy guy. He brings a lot of energy when he makes big plays. And I just like the way he's come into camp. He's owning that position, and hopefully that carries over into the regular season.
Now, Jeff, you know, you talk about crossing routes, and we all remember the Rams games. That was a disaster. But you even look at, like, with Clayton Tune in the second half in the Cardinals, how the type of routes that they were trying to hit and have success. Now, I thought it was interesting. I think Pro Football Focus, I mean, I want to say he had a grade, like, maybe high 80s or the 90s. Rico Payton, if you look at that his grade in Pro Football Focus was unbelievable. Now, with all said and done, we had four passes defended. He had three of the four. Kool-Aid had one. But when you look,
but they picked on Kool-Aid.
But they picked on Rico Payton, and he had the highest grade.
But
higher than Kool-Aid. Now it depends who you're guarding, and he had three passes defended. So I'm saying that Pittsburgh State versus Alabama. No, all I'm saying, Rico Payton, you're going to see a lot of him in the second half against the 49ers.
The thing with Kool-Aid, the guy caught the ball. With Rico, he knocked it away.
Yeah, he got three passes defended, and Alkule would have got beat for a touchdown if Desmond Ridder made a good throw in the red zone.
That was a terrible throw.
So I just what do you see Jeff, for Rico Payton? Because you hear Pittsburgh. No, it's Pittsburgh State that's in Kansas. It's not in Pennsylvania. But Rico Payton seemed like he was playing with some confidence. I know it was the Cardinals, but he took advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, the Cardinals were going after the corners pretty hard in that game. What I see here, Kool-Aid had six targets. Rico had six targets. Yep. Mac McCain had six targets, right? Kool-Aid allowed four catches, but he did make the tackle. So there's something to be said there. I thought he handled those two crossing routes early in the game really well. One was a PBU on third down, and one was a tackle short of the sticks on third down. So I do give him credit for that. I thought he handled that well. Rico, I think he got targeted. Yeah, he got targeted six times. He allowed one catch, all those pass breakups. You know, he's a guy who has gotten a lot of run in camp. And he's competed. That's the best thing I could say for him is, you know, he's not getting, you know, out physicaled, if that makes sense. Like, he's always in that competition. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he doesn't win. Between he and Rezjon Wright, I think that's who you're kind of looking at. And Shamar John Charles, as you know, these are guys who are going to be at the fringe, are going to be one of your last cuts. And I think you're kind of trying to figure out that ladder of like, who, okay, if we do need a fifth corner behind Marshawn,
yeah, what are you doing special
teams, Alante, and Kool-Aid, who is it going to be? And, yeah, how can you stand out in other ways? And so, yeah, but between Rico, Rezjon, and Shamar, I think that group is strong for a young cornerback trio, and we'll see how they kind of develop. It's tough because you're not always getting reps against the ones, so who are you breaking up the passes from?
Yeah.
That's the other question. But
yeah, who are you guarding?
No, I thought he had a strong performance in that game, and I think he probably played better in that game than necessarily we've seen him play
in practice, huh? Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a good trait to have in terms of, you know, you'd obviously like to see great play in camp, but when it comes down to it, the games are what, you know, what matters.
Right. So, the lights are on. Yeah.
It's kind of like the A.T. Perry thing. Like, if you're not necessarily showing it in camp, but you have big games, something happens to you when you get on the field. And so, yeah, I was impressed with his performance, for sure.
Now, well, Jeff, when I look at this, and I want you to break this down, Coach Allen says, and I said, what? I mean, that's a question mark. He said he doesn't know whether Nick Saldiveri, who got hurt, remember July 29th, will be able to play in the preseason. Why? I mean, come on, we don't know enough about him. If he's not playing in the preseason, then for sure he's not starting a left guard.
Okay, this is back-to-back, basically, fall camps. He's missed almost an entirety of it.
But when you hear the head coach say in a post-practice presser that I don't know whether Saldiveri will play in the preseason.
Yeah, I think DA has kind of gotten to the point where he's just not going to make any proclamations high or low as to when someone's going to come back, because you don't benefit from that. What's the best case scenario? He says, we're hoping to get him back soon, and he comes back soon. Or we're hoping to get him back soon, and then he has a setback, and suddenly it's like, well, why'd you tell us that? You know, so I think that he's kind of getting, as we go further and further down the road, I think he's going to lean further and further toward the Sean Payton, you know, agenda. If I'm not giving you timelines, I'm
nothing.
Not doing anything. but no, it's not. It's a frustrating thing for him because I think he had a chance to go win that job. And
yes, he did.
You can't win a job in the tub, right? You can't.
Yep.
You can't win a job from the training room.
You can't make the club in the tub,
right? And I also think Lucas Patrick is a veteran that they like, you know, and he's been a positive influence on Taliese Fuanga. Taliese talked about that today. He also mentioned that sometimes Lucas just gives him random hugs because he feels like he just wants to be supportive. He's kind of become that kind of veteran leader. And, you know, when you're in a group, you're in an offensive line group with a lot of young players and guys learning, there's value there. And even if Lucas didn't, I wouldn't say he had his best day on Saturday. I think that veteran presence is a positive. So I don't think that they're necessarily feeling like, what are we going to do without Nick? But it's a massive missed opportunity for Nick to own that.
And now, Jeff, talk about injuries before we let you run. How about Spencer Rattler with his thigh contusion? Is that affecting him, or is he back in the swing of things, or what?
Yesterday, I felt like it was. Yesterday, which is Tuesday, he had one of his less efficient days. I think he went 1 for 5 overall, and he just didn't look like he was moving around very well. He looked uncomfortable, and that was, you know, I felt like that was probably what he was dealing with, is the thigh bruise was kind of just a pest, right? It was just annoying, and it probably throws you off a little bit. I thought he moved around a lot better today, so it looks like he's getting over that a little bit. So I wouldn't worry about that much going forward.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your insights, bud.
Sure, y'all. Have a good one.
All righty. Jeff Nowak, our WWL sideline reporter for Saints games. Also, he handles all the digital content produced. He's the producer of it for the sports department.